Welcome to Normal Adjustments, because not all tales are created equal, and neither are the people that tell them. So now, your little babies are in the world. Luca was born and Ava was born. The tough part, it's just getting started, right? Because all of that is just the beginning of it. You guys are meant to fulfill this role of a mother, which is such a big role, right? Like, we all love our mothers, or you're meant to love them, or like, it's just this, you know, which is, it's true. Like, it's idealized. And I can only think about kind of that pressure. And at the same time, Rachel, you having to recover from a C-section. And then you, Raquel, kind of with this bag of fears and insecurities that you're coming along. So I want us to kind of unpack that and talk about that. Because, you know, it's wonderful having a baby and we all love them, but it's probably not that easy.
I think the part that they don't teach you in school, they don't teach you anywhere, or at least that's how it felt for me, it's the recovery.
Yes,
I agree with Rachel. The giving birth ends up being the easy part,
mm-hmm.
after you start working on your recovery. That's the part that nobody talks about, and that's mm-hmm. the part that people need to talk about. The support that women need during their recovery, and I cannot even imagine what Rachel went through and all the women that go through C-sections. Like, the recovery process for a woman immediately after you give birth is beyond mind-blowing. Like, the demands that your body is needing from, like, not only your recovery from actually giving birth, but then you're recovering from giving birth, you haven't slept anything. Like, you also, like, if you decide, and for all the women out there that do decide to do breast milk or formula, both of them are very well accepted, but like, I decided to go for breast milk. So like, I'm going through my recovery while trying to teach myself how to actually like give breast milk to my child. Like, and there's no guidance. There's not really, like, for me, I didn't feel like I got myself very well educated for the days that came after. You prepare all of this for the moment that you give birth, because the way that at least we got taught back home in Puerto Rico is like, you should be scared about giving birth, right? Like, the giving birth process is everything, but then the days that come after are really the worst ones. And what I tell all women out there is like, if you need a list of all the things that you need to recover, at least from a vaginal one, shoot me a text message and I'm happy to give you a list. But that's the part that I think there's a huge gap in all of this process, where it's not only hard because you're raising a child, you have to take care of yourself significantly.
So be blunt, what type of things were mind-blowing to you?
So Rachel, how about if you take it? Because like, I think yours would be like a little bit more impactful from a C-section scenario. Like,
no, I want to answer in both, because okay. On a vaginal level, like, I mean, I could only imagine like your vagina just split like this.
Well, and you don't know about any of this stuff until you become pregnant and you start to do the research and you take the classes, and then you're like, what? Because I prepared, because I in my mind thought I was going to have a vaginal birth. I bought the peri, whatever, the spray and
peri
the
bottle.
The, yeah. Like, I was there. There's also, by the way, it's the preparation for the recovery can start before as well, because I don't know if you did the perennial massages.
I didn't do them, but I read about them. I just didn't do them.
I tried like twice. I was like, this is really awkward. I can't do this. But like, there's things like for anyone who goes through this or who hasn't gone through the journey, like, you don't realize there's like crazy shit. But like, it's like basically like rubbing oils up yourself. And like, yeah, it's just
so
physically, Nicole, preparing yourself.
Let's get nasty right now.
Yeah, so let's get nasty.
Dig in.
Am I my case, again, vaginal, yes, child comes out. So like in my case, the doctor that I came to, and my mom did ask me about this, so she did prepare me. She was like, make sure that your doctor gives you a stomach massage that goes all the way from your stomach all the way down. And that ultimately helps out, pull out all of the fluids out immediately after you give birth. So you give birth to your lovely baby boy, right? So he comes out, right? He goes to the nurses. He comes to me. I didn't even know what to say to the child. I said, hello, 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 hello. I stayed like in a concert like this, my phone. Hello, hello, hello. I just didn't even know what to say. Like, and next thing I know, my doctor is like, thank God I kind of have the epidural, but I even still felt it with the epidural. So it's a massage that he uses like this side of your arm. Your knuckles, I guess. No, not your knuckles, like these ones, this part right here. And he goes like that from the top of your stomach all the way down for like a solid 10 or 15 minutes. So like all of the fluids start coming out. And honestly, my mom did tell me about this in advance. And she goes like, just make sure that he gives you that because that will help your recovery so much more. And it did. It did significantly. Like, so like in the upcoming days that came after that, I had read about a lot of women that had a lot of discharge as a result that their doctors did not perform that massage. So like all the liquids and everything were still coming out of their bodies as the upcoming days came by, right? So guys, you're letting, like Ali Wong is on point. You have to let go of the child's house when he's been cooking and put there for 9 months. You have
to
immediately after, all right?
I love that. So, I love that stand-up. She's the best.
She's the best. I don't like comedy, but I love her comedy show. So like, anyway, so like the doctor performs this massage and thank God I have to give credit to Lenox Hill. They gave me the best like breakdown of everything that I had to do, and my recovery was short compared to a lot of other women. Like my recovery within 5 days, I was normal. I was back to normal. But it came with a huge package of things that I did not, like I had gotten the Perry bottle, Rachel. I had gotten like the Freedom On package, like the panties, the whatever. Like I had gotten like one box of the cold pads. By the way, women who go through vaginal births get the vagina, like the vagina cold pads. Like that is,
I've heard that heaven. Too, yeah.
Like spend your money there. Don't get like the makeup done. Don't get anything. Pay on that. Like, it's basically like this like thick maxi pad, right? And it has like a cold insert, so like they break it and it becomes cold, so then throughout your recovery, the recovery should be like clean up, put a little use your Perry bottle with soap, clean it up, then use your Dermaplast and it helps you numb the area, and then that, and then you have to repeat that like 7 or 8 times throughout the day.
I want that right now. I want that little cold pad.
A cold a little cold lighting should work at every single scenario, honey. You should have it for, doesn't matter the scenario. You should have it just for like sleep.
Just as a vaginal, a vaginal facial.
Yes.
A facial.
Like a cold facial. Maybe you're just like, anyways.
Wait, I have a question.
Yeah.
Does that mean because you had this massage thing? Does that mean you didn't, did you not bleed much after?
I bled, but I didn't bleed as much people. Like within 2 days, no more bleeding was coming out. And like bleeding from a cut on an incision. Does that make sense? Like you still had like for a couple of days moving forward, you still had like bleeding, but the bleeding was very minimal.
Well, you know, ironically, you know, I didn't have a vaginal delivery, but you still bleed when you have a C-section. Mm-hmm. I bled for 6 weeks.
Oh.
Oh yeah. People, no one tells you that. No one tells you that you bleed for 6 weeks. I was like, wait, is this normal that it's this long? And everyone's like, six weeks.
And then on top of the bleeding, because I guess that's everything inside you, what type of recovery, how was your recovery with the C-section?
Yeah,
I want to know.
Well, I think generally, like, I had a multi-layer of a physical and a mental recovery, like an extra mental recovery, I think, in my opinion, because I had an unplanned C-section. The physical recovery, like, I had never had surgery in my entire life. And then one day they're like, here, you're going to have abdominal surgery. It's really major. And yeah, good luck with that. The NHS gave me a little slip of paper. Like they were the opposite. They were just like, here's a list of a few things you can do. But like, I mean, honestly, like, yeah, the postnatal ward, after my birth, like pretty much didn't prepare me for anything. Not like no preparation for the baby or my physical recovery. Like, What was I gonna say? What's the freaking pee bag called?
I know how to say it in folly.
Yeah, whatever.
Folly is in Spanish. I know that. Folly, exactly.
Really? I don't know why I can't think of what it's called, but
yeah, it's fine.
Anyways, this is typical NHS. I actually had to empty my own. No one came around and like, yeah, can you believe that? Yeah. So there are some things about public healthcare that are a little, I don't know, DIY, so to speak. I had to empty. Oh, catheter. That's what it is. Catheter.
Oh, the catheter. Got it.
The catheter. Yeah. I had to empty my own pee while I was in the hospital. So that was cool. But anyways, now think about having had surgery, abdominal surgery. And no, I mean, honestly, I don't even think anyone like showed me how I should roll out of bed. Like no one like showed me anything. And then they were like, yeah, no, you, oh, just go. I had to go into the bathroom down the hallway. They said, oh, just, here's the little nozzle at the top. Just dump it in the toilet. I promise you. And I literally dumped my pee in the toilet, flushed the toilet. And I literally like just had a C-section. Like what? So that was a little strange. And then once I got home, I had another sort of emotional breakdown because I clearly wasn't expecting to come home and have that level of physical recovery. Like I said earlier, like I'm a planner. I literally had like, I had my diaper station set up. I had everything put away. Everything was out. You know, all the clothes were lined. I like nested hard, like hardcore nested. And everything was like ready. And then when I got home, like my master bedroom's upstairs. And everything else is downstairs, the kitchen, everything. That wasn't in the plan that I couldn't go downstairs, that I needed, like, and that's when, that's when my mom and my husband, like, that's when they came into play and like completely blew my mind with how supportive they are. And I think like, you know, unfortunately not everyone can have a support system, especially mm-hmm. with like a C-section recovery. But like, if I were to give any advice, I would say it's way harder than anyone could imagine, or at least like in my opinion, it was way, way more difficult than I ever would have imagined. And I think like there's not enough said about C-sections. Like just I had a C-section. Like it was like it's very like nonchalant the way it's mentioned. Whereas like it's major surgery, and mm-hmm. I mean it was like a pretty much an I would say like an 8-week full recovery for me. I pushed myself through. Like I really wanted to get there. I wanted to push the baby in the stroller. You know, I thought I was going to come home and right away, like take her out for a walk. And like, that's what you picture in your mind, but you don't realize it's not, and it's not the same with vaginal either, mm-hmm. but like there's like this added physical recovery with the C-section that like, I wanted to push through as quickly as possible, but your body also like says, no, you know, like, no, you can't do that. So there was this kind of balance of me wanting to recover as quickly as possible, but also knowing that I needed to take care of myself, because, you know, if you don't take care of your wound, as everyone who's had surgery knows, like, you're going to set yourself up for failure. And I also was a bit conscious of, I didn't want to mess anything up for like a future birth, and I didn't know how that was going to affect, a future birth situation. But it was hard. It was really hard, but like, ultimately it was the support system. Like, I can't even fathom if I didn't have my husband and my mom here, like, and both together.
There's one thing that you end up learning really quickly as the first coming days after having a baby, is that the idea of that at some point, because it still happens on a day-to-day basis, right? But like, that there's so many women that are single moms or that go through this process by themselves. Mm-hmm. That blows my mind. Yeah. Like, I don't even know how women do it in that scenario.
And actually, on that note, my mother was married before my father. And my older brother is like biologically my half brother. She had my brother with her first husband. And long story short, he wasn't really in the picture for the birth and post everything. And you know, when she used to tell me about it, like, she wouldn't talk too much about it. I don't know if that was purposeful or not, but once I went through this, I like you said, like, it was like, I can't even fathom having gone through her experience. And it like obviously completely gave me a newfound a new level of respect for my mom, that she went through that and, you know, ultimately thrived and everything. But like, yeah, I can't even imagine. Like, and you just have to be this like next level, sort of have this next level amount of strength, like physically, emotionally, everything, to be able to do that on your own. So like,
agreed.
Yeah, it really, it's definitely.
So on an emotional level, so what is like, what really got to you?
Well, what they don't tell you, and luckily my cousin had actually given me warning. I have a few cousins, and between them, there's like, I don't know, five babies or something. So they've gone through a lot of different birth circumstances, which is really really helpful to have that perspective. But I remember my cousin telling me, just so you know, all these hormones that were building and building through your pregnancy, they drop immediately after you give birth. Your hormones just completely fall off a cliff. And that's what like baby blues is about. And it's like, they of course like make it sound really flowery and stuff. But it is next level. I've never gone through anything emotionally like that in my life. And like, Ricardo, I know you, like, you have some things and you've worked on things in your life and had a therapist and everything, but like, I didn't have that experience, and I didn't even, it was really intense. Like, it was really intense. I think the added circumstance of the C-section was an extra layer of just like struggle in my emotional state, because for some reason in my head, I don't know. I mean, I can break it down now that it's months later, but for some reason in my head, for me, a C-section was like a failure, because I couldn't birth vaginally. I thought I must have been a failure because I couldn't do it. And that's what I went through, like hardcore. And I actually did seek therapy here, to kind of like work through those emotions. I don't know, there was just something inside me, and now I've been able to like understand that it was spontaneous. I mean, what happened to me was completely spontaneous. I didn't fall. We ultimately don't know why I had that rupture of placenta. Had that not happened, yeah, maybe I would have given birth vaginally. But like I remember even having this thought not that long ago, to be honest, because it's still something that I work through. But I remember thinking, like, I actually counted how many babies, like, all the mothers gave birth, like, on my mom's, just my mom's line. I counted how many births everyone had. And I'm the only person that had a C-section. And it was like, it's like 20 births or 22, I think it was the number. And that got to me. Like, I was like, I'm that like number, you know, like I'm the anomaly that had the C-section. And it's like, it does. Yeah. It kind of, I struggled to understand, like, well, how did all of those women, you know, give birth normally is not the right word, but vaginally, I guess. And I was the only one, you know, and like, and that's something that I still struggle with. And it's something that, like, when I get to birth two, like, God willing, I'll have to work on myself emotionally in that pregnancy, and also be able to make that decision whether I want to have a VBAC, which, Nicole, I don't know if you know what a VBAC is, but it's like, things I learned once I have a baby, but vaginal birth after cesarean, it's like an acronym for that. So some people choose to have vaginal birth after cesarean. Some people just say, you know what, just tear right up into that, you know, incision again. So that will be a future milestone for me that I'll have to kind of work through emotionally. But yeah, that was my struggle, I guess, in kind of a nutshell.
And I think just to feed out of what you just said, I think one of the major things that as you do become a mom, when we talk about guilt, right? Like things around, like, for example, you had a C-section, that's not something that you wanted, you've had to work with yourself, you have a guilt scenario. But by the way, what I want to tell you though, Rachel, is that just know that although you did go through a C-section, it wasn't what you were planning on. The fact that you are the first in your family, it's also a huge testament, because if there's anybody that comes after you that does have a C-section, that you are able to be a guide and you are able to be a guidance for it. Like, I remember a lot of the things when I was talking to my mom, unfortunately, like, had birth years and years and years before me. And she, for example, she never did breast milk, and that's okay. And she wasn't able to be a guide for me there. But then my brother's wife, who was the only, like, I only have like two people that I can actually go to talk about like motherhood in general. And my friends, Glenda, and my brother's wife, Angela. And because they're most like the most recent people that I know that have given birth. In our group, unfortunately, like, I'm the first one to have, I mean, fortunately, but unfortunately, because I don't have a guidance, I don't have a lot of people to rely on. So I hope that at least the fact there's some peace and comfort knowing that if in your heritage or in your lineage moving forward, there's another woman that does have a C-section, you were the first, but you might be a guidance for somebody else.
Yeah.
But from that scenario, like, I struggle with guilt all the time. Like, I wanted to breast milk until 1 year of Luca. And like, the reality is that that's not going to happen since I started work.
Yeah.
I just don't give as much breast milk, and I've tried. And I live with the guilt that I wanted to go through like my whole year with breast milk. And I've had like this moment multiple times with Danilo, just going like, I hate myself, blah, 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 blah. Like, that I can't continue producing breast milk. And like, I remember my aunt gave me like this really expensive pump, the Willow, that it's like, it was meant for me to take it to work. And with that usage, I feel like I made her lose her money because there's something that I wanted, and and now I can't even like use it in its totality because I'm not producing as much milk as I wanted. And I think like the conclusion to all of this, whether if it's guilt for you having a C-section, me producing breast milk, it's that we just don't give enough credit to ourselves, period. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Like it's not only in motherhood. It also just happens to be in womanhood, period. We just don't give enough credit to ourselves of the amazing things that we're actually accomplishing and we're actually doing in order to whether survive being a mother or just being like a good colleague or whatever it might be. I don't know, whatever your story might be or whoever's story might be for the listener, that ultimately whatever you are doing, as long as it's good, right? Like you're not heading towards the path of destruction and like hurting other people. It's okay. Like I still struggle to say that on a day-to-day basis and actually believe it, but it is okay. And whatever you're doing, it's okay.
Yeah. And I was just going to say that you were able to get pregnant. Sorry, I don't know this word in English. To produce, a horrible word, to create. Okay. You were able to create a beautiful baby girl, healthy. How it was delivered, nobody cares.
Exactly. I mean, that's literally the conversation that I had with my cousin who also had a C-section. This is a cousin through different lineage, so I didn't count her in my cousin count, but, yeah, as long as you're healthy, baby's healthy, we're fine. You know, like if it comes out one way or another, that's what you have to focus on, you know, and like just not feel guilty about it, because it's probably a waste of emotional space, but sometimes you just can't help it, you know.
Agreed.
But there's so much mom guilt. I mean, maybe this is more transitioning into like motherhood stuff, but there's so
that's perfect. Guilt. Let's transition then to motherhood stuff, because you guys both mentioned guilt in different angles, and it keeps coming up. Mm-hmm. So, and I've heard this a lot, right? Like the mom guilt, because then I said this a couple of weeks ago, is that comparison is the biggest enemy of the human being. And it becomes such a surreal thing with this motherhood. Is even you, Rachel, comparing yourself, your birth story, even you, Raquel, comparing yourself, your body, your breastfeeding journey. And then like, how do you mother? Do you really have to comment on that as well?
And also comparing your babies to other babies is such a big thing. Like Ava's 5 months and she hasn't rolled yet, and like I'm googling, I'm like, you know, what month do they roll by, when should you contact the doctor, and like I'm asking, you know, everyone who has similar age, like, you know, has your baby rolled? And it's like, yeah, the mom guilt and the comparison is so real, because you're like stacking yourself up for some reason. I don't know why, but part of me thinks that, like, part of me wonders if it's because none of us know what we're doing. So if we ask other people how it's going, then at least maybe we have a basis for like knowing if we're doing it okay. Like, I don't know.
I think you're right. I think you're right to a certain extent, because the reality is that we're all trying to seek, I don't want to say acceptance, because it's not necessarily acceptance. We're just trying to seek,
is my baby normal?
Is he within the line of normalcy? Are you trying to be? It actually falls down to us at the end of the day, because it's like, are we trying to be the best mothers possible, that we're giving the best things to our kids, and are we doing everything in our power to be able to excel, have them excel at whatever they should be excelling on, whether if it's like standing on their arms, rolling, eating, whatever it might be. I guess it goes back to like that notion of perception that we have to be perfect and we have to do everything great and we have to do it in a certain manner. So this brings an awful circle to what Nicole was like, you know, asking at the beginning about like social norms, etc. Like, I did the same thing, girl. I've gone through like looking at online and looking at the milestones and making sure that he's actually like reaching all the milestones. And like, there's days that Danilo tells me, stop looking at it because it doesn't make like any sense that you're trying to like achieve this. Like, there's people that I know that don't allow their kids to watch TV till they're like 4 years old. And I respect it. If you decided to take that decision, Rachel, all good for you. But my kid is watching TV and he's like attentive to documentaries. I don't understand what's going on in his little brain, but like he thinks he understands like really complex documentaries. Like,
well, he's understanding Hamilton. That's the important thing here.
Oh, yeah. He totally. He's watched Hamilton multiple times at this point. But and we watched Mulan yesterday and we watched Coco and he's like, he's got everything down. All right. In my brain. But the reality is that whatever you're trying to do, like that judgment, that added pressure, that added everything that comes with like being a mother, I'm learning how to navigate it as well. Like the other day my child was in daycare. Sorry, I have to work, but like he's in daycare. Call me irresponsible. I don't care. But the reality is that like the other day I was so excited to see him and like I like lifted him up in the air for 1 second and I know what I'm doing and I know that I'm not supposed to shake him, but I like lifted him up in the air for 1 second and like the people in the daycare were like, no, don't do that. And I know that they were coming with good intentions. I wasn't doing it with bad intentions. I rested him up in the air for 2 seconds. Like I did all this and like I grieved about it the whole weekend. I was the whole weekend reliving the moment, reshifting, like, why did I do this? What harm could I have done? And I had to let it go at some point, of course. But like,
oh God, yeah.
Well, like you start. No, go.
No, I was just going to say, like, everyone has that one thing that happens to their baby. Like, we took her to the ER for what ultimately was kind of no reason. But, you know, I have a cousin, baby fell on his head. You know, like, everyone has their blips. And that's totally normal. Like,
yeah,
because you know, you can't be perfect. Like that's one thing you got to get used to is you can't be perfect. Like you can't be OCD. You can't be perfect. Like, and it's something that like, I definitely like, that is something that I'm learning. Like I'm learning to let go. Like mm-hmm. I can't be over the top. Like a perfectionist with everything because life is not perfect. And I also don't want to teach that to my daughter. I don't want her to think that everything has to be like a certain way. And it's like, it's a lesson for myself. That, yeah, you have to let some things go.
So in this,
you have to adapt.
Exactly. In the spirits of normal adjustments, you guys have talked a lot about learnings, about a lot of things that you've gone through and that at this moment you're kind of dealing with or coped with. But what are kind of pieces of advice and things you've had to do to adjust to this new life, to these new journeys and to this new reality?
I think like from my side, like, and we didn't get to touch base on this, but like, love your partner. Love, if you do have a support system, like love them and try to remind them that they're doing great and that they're doing good and like all that. Like a lot of women tend to talk about their experiences, theirs. And like I said at one point beforehand, women do carry a lot of the weight of this journey. That's just the reality. Again, it comes with the nature of the reality, but they're also making adjustments and they're also making changes and they're also like adjusting to making sure that we're good or that they're good or that the baby is good. So they're going through not exactly our same path, but they're going through like a journey themselves. So like what I always say is that just make sure that you're taking care of the baby, you're taking care of yourself, but also check in every so often with your partner. Danilo has shocked me of how of a present father he is, period. Like I was like scared throughout the all pregnancy. I thought like he was gonna leave me by myself. Like I'm gonna end up being like the role of the woman and he's not gonna take care of anything and I'm gonna be responsible for everything. And that has been beyond real. Like Danilo has been there every single part of the way. And like anything that I ask him, like, Danilo, I need to sleep in today because like today I got my COVID shot. I was dying, right? Like this morning he took care of the baby while I was like trying to like get 2 more hours of sleep. Like, I have to command him on like being there. And like, one other thing is like, to women, try to as much as possible, like those first days when I came back from home, I came back home and I was in the hospital and blah, blah, blah. There's so much information that comes into your brain. So much, so much, so much. Like, whether the doctors are telling you something, the nurses are telling you something else. Like, I had like, on the hospital, they provide you like a lactation consultant. Take all the information, put it in a box and put it away for some days. Now, I'm not saying like it's going to go away forever. Put it away for some days. And the reality is that everybody has their own opinion on how things are going to get done. And that's okay. That's why you have your mom. That's why you have your cousins. That's why you have my brother's wife. Like, you have all these things that are resources for you. But at the end of the day, this is your kid. You're going to raise them the way that you think is right and that you want them to like come through. So like, take all the information, put it in a box, try to not stress about it, because I certainly did. And just put it to the side as much as you can. And yeah, remind your mother how thankful you are for like taking care of you. Because that's one of the things that I like ended up like realizing, how incredible my mother is throughout this whole experience, and my grandmother and my aunt. But like, remind yourself, like, my mom came. Unfortunately, she was in Puerto Rico because I gave birth earlier. She couldn't even come in for the day of birth. But I have to remind that you have to give some sugar loving to your mother if she happens to still be present, because my mom, the first 3 weeks, and then Danilo's mom, the weeks that she came after, they've all been like a gigantic help. And like, I'm so thankful for having those resources that are so close to me. If you feel like you were raised great, try to apply, try to ask them, what did they do right? And ask them also, what did they do wrong? Because the reality is that you might learn a couple of things here and there mm-hmm. of what they did wrong that you can just apply and make sure that you don't do it yourself.
And Rachel, same question.
Honestly, I feel like you hit the nail on the head. I 100% would agree with everything that you said. Like, one of the takeaways that I have was around like my husband's support. Like, I knew that he was going to be a good dad. Like, I just, because you can see it, you know, like you just see the way they are and you're like, I expected that. But like, it was next level, both support from me and those kind of first weeks after birth, and also just being a supportive father and, you know, doing more than just kind of like playing a part, but like really just like getting into it, being involved, and like investing in your child. And I guess my advice would be, lean on the support that you have. Because, you know, just because you're carrying the child, and like, in some ways, I mean, in my perspective, in some ways, like, especially since I'm still breastfeeding and everything, you kind of become a bit of a default parent. It just means you, on the flip side, you need even that much more support, because a lot of it ends up falling on you. So yeah, like lean on any support system that you have, whether it's your mom, your parents, your family, like baby parent group, like any like community resource is actually really, like, I found that really mm-hmm. helpful, like random Facebook groups. And
I'm in them.
Yeah. Like, it sounds silly, but
I'm not very proud of it. Yeah.
Sometimes at 2 a.m. you're like, oh my God, what the hell is going on? Like, and you just need like some guidance, something. Just use it all, especially since we're in the information age now. Like, I chatted with my aunt once about this. She was like, I don't understand. She's like, we had one book. She's like, we had one book. And that's how you learned everything. And nowadays you guys have like everything left and right. And like, I feel like this exemplifies it. how different it was, like generationally. My mom, when my mom was here, we were watching Ava sleep on the monitor, and she was like, Rachel, why is she moving around so much? Why is she moving? Like, and I was like, no, mom, that's normal. Like they actually like roll, like they move a lot in their sleep. And she was like, do you know, I had no idea, because they didn't have video monitors. You know, our parents, they didn't see us sleeping. They didn't know what we know. So I think it's like, we have this burden of having so much information, which is really helpful, but it also makes us like be even more concerned about everything that's going on. But anyways, that's like a whole nother rabbit hole. But yeah, I mean, I think just like generally speaking, take the information, but also take everything with a grain of salt, because like every baby is different. Like all the like typical sayings that people say about, you know, every child's different and da 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 da, it's all true. You know, like your baby could go through something and another baby would have the complete opposite experience. So, you know, soak it in, but also like, don't let it concern you, and don't let that like be the final
decision
say.
Maker.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Because, you know, just keep the baby alive, basically. It's like at the end of the day, you just got to keep it alive.
Yeah, exactly.
Just water them, like my plants.
What's the plans?
Eat, poop, sleep, you're good.
So, ladies, I think, you know, you guys have given a lot of knowledge and a lot of good experience that I think people need to hear. With that, each of you give one tip that you wish that you would have known that nobody told you, or opposite, that somebody talked about too much and then it's like, that wasn't really a worry.
I got a good one. I have a friend, thou shall not be mentioned, that she has a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff. So I ended up purchasing a lot of stuff because I thought that I needed a lot of stuff. Guess what? Babies don't need that much stuff, right? Like, okay, granted, they need like diapers and they need food and they need like they need somewhere to sleep in, etc. What I ended up doing is like purchasing a lot of things that, guess what, I used it for like once, maybe best, and then you don't need them.
When you take them home, all you're doing is just changing diapers, changing clothes, and feeding them, and like that's pretty much it. So it's like, yeah, you definitely don't need like millions of toys and all that stuff. That can buy some of that stuff later.
Do you have a tip or trick or thing that you want to say, Rachel?
Live in the moment, because I struggle with that. Mm-hmm. I really struggle with that because I'm such a planner and like a project manager like you. Like, I'm always thinking about the next thing. Just try to enjoy the moments as they come, like, which is hard to do for some people, such as myself, but just try and take it in. Like, I literally, when I'm putting my baby to sleep at night, I like smell her. I smell her and I just try and like lock that into my memory box, because I know like I'm going to turn around and she's going to be like 5 years old and I'm going to say,
she's going to be 15, not liking you.
Exactly. Yeah. So just try and like absorb those moments and like tactilely remember them.
It's very funny. Rachel just mentions that I was talking to a colleague who unfortunately like, is no longer with me anymore. He was a fantastic guide, just because he has older kids. And I was telling him before he left that the one thing that makes me really sad about the process, bittersweet, but it's sad primarily, where I realized that month one has gone by and I'm never going to get month one back.
Yeah.
And then month two, month three, and so
as time goes
by. And you're never going to get those moments back.
Month one goes so quick.
Super quickly. So like there is a very sad component to all of this, that, you know, like when you're an adult, you say like, okay, I'll try to do one thing one thing, and then if I don't get it right, I'll do it again tomorrow. And the reality is that with babies or your children as they're growing up, you have month five will never come again. You're never going to be able to give him the first meal again. Like, you're never going to be able to see him like roll for the first time again. Yeah, see, like it does get you kind of sad, and it does get you very emotional, because like the reality is that I always heard people tell me like it goes by in a blink of an eye, and I do understand that, but like, and I always thought that it was like, you know, like I it's fine. I'm going to have them for 5 months. I'm going to have them. But the problem is that they're growing up and they're learning new things every month and every day, that those new things are just not going to come back again. Mm-hmm. So there, you don't get to turn back on the clock, and you do not get to go back. So enjoy the moment. And I'm with you, Rachel. The that's why I do say, be like, even as present and be there for you. Be there for the moment that mattered to you.
Yeah
100%. So okay, so as we close, there's been a lovely, a wonderful conversation on a woman's perspective of it all, like as a woman, what have you learned about yourself the most, Raquel?
There's a very famous song from a very famous musical called, I knew that you wanted me to bring this up, but like there's a very famous song from a musical called Dear Evan Hansen, that the first song is two mothers talking to each other, and they like, the song is called Do You Have a Map? And does anybody have a map? I'm sorry. And I can't curse, so I will omit what I'm about to say. But like in the portion of the song, it says, does anybody have a map? Does anybody know how to do this? And like, that's exactly how I feel on a day-to-day basis. Like, I'm trying to figure it out as the time goes by. And I'm trying to take this all, like trying to make it up as I go. It literally, those are the lyrics to the song. And the thing that I guess I've learned about myself is how capable I am of doing things. Like, it's not only like I am capable of saying no, which is not something that I'm very good at doing, but I am capable of saying no and learning how to set parameters. And I thought that that would be the hardest part for me. And it's still hard. It's very hard, but I am capable of doing and saying no every so often.
I would say I also have kind of a similar learning. I think just so far, I mean, I can't believe that I'm only 5 months in. Like, it's insane, because first of all, she feels like a different baby than she was when she was a few weeks old. I definitely feel like a different human than the beginning or pregnancy version or whatever. But I think like if I could go back to those first kind of like that first week, or even like being in the hospital still, I would want to tell myself that like you will get through this, and it does get easier. But it's hard to see the light at the end of the tunnel in the beginning. Mm-hmm. In my experience, it was, I actually was like, I don't understand how people do this. Like, I was really fearful of my mom leaving. She stayed for a few weeks, and I actually, like, I was scared. I was so nervous. I didn't understand how my husband and I were going to be able to do it ourselves. Like, I was like, I don't understand how this is possible. But then you get into a groove, and I think like maybe the lesson is just like give yourself some grace, because it's really hard for everyone in the beginning. Everyone goes through the same experience. Everyone thinks that they can't do it, but just give yourself the time and like compassion to like just like let it sink in, and you will get the hang of it. You will get into a groove and a loose routine, so to speak, and you'll figure it out. Because everyone does. Like, I guess it's the reason why we all keep procreating, and like we all seems to be semi-okay with it. I don't know.
And you're ready for baby number two.
Can you even believe, like, this is something that I can't even.
You can't consider?
I don't know. I'm something wrong with me. I don't know.
No, I think babies, children are a blessing and beautiful, and I encourage everyone to have them, just not me. So you guys keep having them. I'll be forever auntie. No, but thank you girls for an amazing, candid, honest conversation. I am fascinated by it. I am fascinated even more so on a woman perspective. Everything that we keep having to deal with, and it's just incredible, and that our bodies are just incredible. And thank you for really being very honest. I want to give a quick shout out to Wayne and Danilo, who are the partners of each of them. And because you guys have said beautiful words, and I know them both personally, they're wonderful people. And I think we have to give them credit as well. Thank you guys. Any final words? Anything else you want to say?
No, thank you, Nicole. Thank you for having us. We really appreciate it. From my side, you know, like, it's always interesting when another woman who hasn't gone through the experience wants to like learn about a little bit more about the experience. So we appreciate your time and your attention and giving us the platform to be able to talk about it.
Of course. All for the greater good.
Thanks for the conversation, and also for introducing me to Raquel.
Of course.
I feel like I've got a new buddy now in New York, so I'm coming for you. I'll be home this summer.
Vice versa. If I go to London and I'm in London town and I watch Nicole, you know what I'm saying? We'll all go get together because baby's coming.
Oh, yeah. Baby Luca. Oh, my God. I'm dying to meet Luca. But that's coming soon.
Coming soon, honey.
Yeah. Well, right, thank you, everyone, for listening. And stay tuned for next week. Don't forget to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We now have a new website, normaladjustments.com, and we're looking for guests to be featured in the podcast. If you or anybody you know wants to be featured in the podcast, please feel free to submit the form on the Contact Us section in the website. Follow us in the new Instagram page, Normal Adjustments, and stay connected with us on a daily basis with quotes, clips, and content of the weekly episode. See you next week.